Okay, you guys can see my screen, right?
Yes.
Okay, all right, thank you. So welcome to the August 21st use case realization call. So today we're gonna be going over modeling subcommittee interactions with the use case teams and kind of a way of working, and also open up a dialogue with modeling impacts that people might want to discuss from use cases. So we've been going over, we've had meetings, not, you know, in the past to look at in R6, what's happening in R6. So this is the current view of R6 use cases, and specifically if people have modeling impacts. I've asked people to open up a dialogue for those. You can mention them here today. And I don't know how much time Denghui and Andy will need, but if there's time left over, people can discuss their modeling impacts for their use cases. Okay, so maybe Andy and Deng, do we want to kind of go over some of the way of working stuff that we've been working on, just as a lead-in to...
Yeah, that'd be good. And then maybe what we can do is discuss, you know, what's defined in a use case as far as use case templates after that.
Yeah. Okay, great.
And then how the templates might tie to modeling, I think would be a good approach.
Okay, great. I don't know what's going on here. Okay. Okay. So I'll start off the presentation and people, you know, Deng or Andy can join in with any comments. So the modeling team, subcommittee teams have been working on this way of working, defining the process for the modeling subcommittee and of a way to collaborate between or increase collaboration between architecture and modeling and use case subcommittee teams. And this is just showing at a high level kind of what happens through M3 in a release. So these are points in time, like kickoff, M1 planning, M2 functionality, M3 API freeze. So the modeling team is defining these high-level requirements, which Andy and Deng will talk about more. Model plan work is going on up to M1. They refine the model and approve and launch it and release it and freeze it, so the APIs can be developed. And all the while, basically, we're trying to increase collaboration with the use case teams here, architecture, and use cases. So basically, the modeling team develops the information model, which are high level model requirements are being planned, which again Andy will talk about more in a second. And then they introduce the input the model that's called the input model. They refine that model, and that's called the discussion model. And then it gets approved and reviewed, and they arrive at something called a clean model. And then that can be, of course, undergo further refinements if necessary. But generally speaking, this is kind of the final model that that should become available for other teams to use. Meanwhile, the use case teams are creating a data model. So they take that information model, create the data models for their projects. They have an input data model that leads into a discussion data model and a clean data model. So similar to this input, discussion, and clean model, which of course leads into creation of APIs that are needed. Architecture. So I brought this brought this to the architecture team as well to kind of describe and capture what the architecture teams are doing. So they're working on the functional architecture. So they have a draft and then a recommended and approved functional architecture. And that looks like this, or an older version of the architecture model looks like that. So most people have probably seen that, right? And there's another one, there's a new one for R4, but that's the functional architecture that undergoes updates per release, or may undergo updates per release. And then there's these component architectures, which are like the platform, led by platform architecture things, which are led by the PTLs updates. And that also goes under a draft updates and recommended component architectures. So this is some other discussion I had at the architecture team where they're looking at proposals and stories and enhancements that would be integrated into architecture. So basically the point is to try to have the architecture track see where they line up with the modeling track and the use case teams and really increase collaboration in touch points between or before M0 and M1 and M2 so that the teams know what each other are doing. And that's what we're really trying to do here is to improve collaboration and open up a dialogue so that basically the modeling team expects the use case teams to essentially present their impacts for their use cases to the modeling team. So if you didn't know that, there are like 3 modeling calls each week. And so if your use case has an impact to a model or it might have an impact to the model, it's a good idea to go to the modeling team. And this is exactly why we're having this meeting, so that you can also give an early heads up to the modeling team before M0 so that they know what's going on. And this past Tuesday, Deng, in fact, was trying to capture the table, which maybe he'll show you later on. So on the meeting. Okay. So what we've been doing is actually, I'll just go straight to the website now. So the team has been basically somewhere here. I thought I had it up. Yeah. Okay. So the team has basically been working together to try to document that this flow and this process. So before M0, the modeling team is doing model planning. And again, Andy, I'll turn over the floor to Andy in a second here. So he'll talk about more about that. But basically, it's undergoing model planning net right now, where the modeling team is basically looking to define what they're going to do in this particular release, like in R6, for example. They consider new use cases where they're looking at the scope of modeling, how to continue introduce and perhaps standards updates, refine the existing model. So there may be activity to refine the existing information model and things that were maybe long lead items or multi-release items that weren't maybe formalized or that they need to be worked. And then some forward-looking work, things in the future. So this is working things in the past, this is working things right now, and then working things in the future. So there may be other things that they see coming down the pipe that they want to get a head start on, and they're looking to do some forward-looking work. Okay. And of course, here, right now, we're looking at the use case teams to present their modeling needs and to essentially have this meeting that we're having now to open up a dialogue to the use case teams to see what possible impacts that people may have to the modeling subcommittee and the existing models that they have. And then of course, open up a dialogue between architecture and the various platform components. Okay, and then before M1, which is, so this is September 5 for R6, right, M0, and then about a month later, we have M1, where the modeling team is then looking at more detailed requirements definition of what's going on in the release and prioritizing things and looking where model, really analyzing where there could be overlaps and model reuse and stuff. Okay, so Deng and Andy, did you want to add anything to what I said?
I think this is very good. I think what's really important here is I'm hoping to get a better relationship with use case development, as it occurs, to helping that identify the impacts on modeling. So as you're defining use cases, right, you have kind of the scope of the use case, you define the functionality, etc. But you also define, hopefully, in your use case template, things like preconditions and postconditions, right? So within that, it would be really useful from a modeling perspective if when you're thinking about what your preconditions are, think about what input you're receiving. What information are you consuming in order to perform the functionality described in that use case. So do you have Ben, do you have a use case template that you guys are utilizing for your use case descriptions? And Ben might be on mute.
Sorry, I was on mute. Right. So here's the template, which is used by use cases. It's a very high level template where basically it describes the use case names and, you know, like the test environment, integration team liaison, development status, and their PTL impacts, testing, and then flows and use case status. Sorry, was there a question? Oh, okay. So basically, yeah, this is the sort of template that's used to kind of describe a use case at a high level.
Yeah, because I know last year there's we had this thing about documenting ONAP, right? And there was a couple of proposals about utilizing use case templates. We know TM Forum uses use case templates, MEF uses use case templates, and there's pretty much a standard form, and most of these things kind of identify the same types of items. And I can show you a couple examples. But this might be something to think about, right? So, this template that you're showing is great for tracking the use case, right? But think about a template for describing the use case. So how are you describing the use case, right? Kind of defining, you know, what the overall definition of the use case is, and maybe I can share something. I'll show you something that
I'll stop sharing.
That we've been using kind of in MEF, or you know, at least there's the old version of what we used in MEF, and then I can show you what was proposed, you know, last year in ONAP, and maybe this will help.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, so hopefully you can see my screen. I can make this a little bit bigger if we need to, just to make it more readable. All right. Yeah, so again, we have this kind of common form of a use case template where we describe, you know, what's the name of the use case, who are the actors. Actors can be both external entities as well as system components. Short description of the use case, who are the points of contact for the use case. Paragraph overview of the use case, what's the user story, if you want to think of it that way. And then we have things that are called preconditions. So this is a list of conditions that are assumed to be true before you can invoke the use case. As part of that, what we commonly do is include a description of consumed information. So what information is this use case needing? What are the required pieces of information? And they can be at a high level, just in textual description. And the reason for that is this really helps, it will help the modeling subcommittee understand, you know, where's that information coming from? Do we have that information modeled? Is this new stuff? We can also, as a modeling subcommittee, help, you know, point the use case developer to understand where the existing model for that information would be so they can reapply it. So I'm hoping that, you know, that might be one of the areas. Then there's the trigger for the use case. Then you have the process steps. So this is your 1, 2, 3, 4, what happens functionally inside the use case. But within the function, so if you get to the point where you actually have an interaction diagram to go along with these steps, and that's maybe your M1 area, but maybe some people have an M0. Part of those interactions are data exchanges, right? So within my use case flow, my interaction diagram, I'd have data exchanges. And for the data exchange, you're also identifying pieces of information here. So if there's components that are part of that flow that need to exchange information, identify the information and describe it there. I think that would also help us. The third thing that would help us is the post conditions. So once you're done executing this use case, what are the expected results? Right, and part of the expected results are the new information that's produced. And just having a description of what information is produced as a result of the use case will also help us, the modeling subcommittee working with the use case committee, to identify, do we have current modeling around that? Is this new stuff? And sometimes I know use cases are very focused on, you know, specific applications like 5G or slicing, but the modeling subcommittee could help by looking at, okay, you've produced a network slice, right? What does that mean? And the use case committee can identify that requirement, and the modeling subcommittee can help say, okay, this is something that we can maybe produce a more generalized model around that could be applied to, you know, types of network sharing beyond 5G, although still satisfying the needs of that specific example, like network slice or slice segment, et cetera. Another important part, I'll go through the rest of this. So alternate paths are, you know, what could happen during exceptions or special case processing, because, you know, basically most people define the use cases to be very sunny day, but what are your exceptions? Are there other use cases that are related to use case? So you'd reference those. If you have high level functional requirements, you can describe what those are. Any other assumptions, tools. So do you have any tools that are used or reference material associated with these use cases? And artifacts kind of ties into that. Artifacts are, you know, once we identify piece parts of models, for example, or UML diagrams, all those are artifacts that can be associated with this use case. So if there's modeling fragments that we can produce from the UML, UML is kind of the logical model, we can help associate that with this use case to provide that relationship. So let me see if I can find this now, in ONAP.
That's really good. That should be probably incorporated into the use case, pages in the that are captured per release, or even in that template page that I showed you. I think that would be really useful.
Yeah, they actually, I think Oliver Spetchak put this together let's see what the date of this was, February 2018. But I don't know, you know, why it never kind of caught on. I know it was discussed back then, but the idea here, this is kind of very close to proposal 2. The template I showed you is one that we used in MEF and some other standards. But this proposal 2 is very, very similar. You have kind of the high-level UML diagram, and this is just an example. And then you have the template that goes along with that, and you see the preconditions and postconditions, you know, in here. Yeah, if there's Jira tasks that are traceable, you can produce those as artifacts or modeling fragments. So this is a little bit different, but it's very similar.
So this is a different second alternative proposal to the other thing that you showed us? I'm just trying to understand.
What I showed you before was what MEF was using, right?
So I see.
Okay. We actually use that in some MEF documentation. This is, I found this just by searching around the ONAP wiki. I found that there were a couple of proposals a year ago, over a year.
Okay. I see.
So Oliver and Brian, who was involved in some of the MEF stuff that we were doing as well, we're putting this together. So I'm just suggesting that maybe as a use case subcommittee, maybe what we can do is, you know, maybe toss this out there as a item, and I want to get your feedback, including the hooks into where the information elements would come into play, right? So where are the hooks into the modeling as well? But I think this overall helps, you know, define and describe use cases in a common and consistent way.
Sure, absolutely. That's great. Actually, I am surprised it didn't go further.
I'm not sure why it lost traction at the time, but I don't know. But now we have an opportunity, I think. And I really feel if we can, you know, follow kind of a process like this in providing this, you know, what are we asking for, right? And that's really why Dengui and I are here, is what are we asking for from the use case developers? And what we're really asking for is help us help you and have you help us to identify new pieces of information that need to be, you know, modeled in more detail as use cases get implemented. And part of that process is starting at the very beginning, right? With just that high level view of the use case, what you're consuming, what you're producing, what's exchanged across components, what's shareable, right? And that helps us identify, okay, here's missing pieces of the model that we haven't done yet as far as what our modeling subcommittee has been working on or focused on. And that'll help us identify the model plan for the release and prioritize things. But it also help us help you in dragging you into the modeling, because you guys are the ones are identifying the requirements, and you can help us, you know, produce a better model that can be reapplied, you know, as new use cases are developed, right? We shouldn't be trying to reinvent the wheel every time. We should be producing artifacts that can be built on, including the modeling, information models and data models and APIs. So that's a general idea. If you're looking for more information on the modeling, Dengwei, we can go through these high level modeling requirements in a minute. But let me just
So back to the use case things. Maybe there should be something there also for models. There's nothing there mentioning. Maybe you should also mention if there's already understood. Like, what sort of questions besides just the here's a description of the use case and its flow would help the modeling team understand?
Yeah. So part of it is the preconditions, right? So as you're looking at the information that you're consuming, we can look at, are there existing models for that information, right, that we've developed? As you're looking for the information that you're producing, we can do the same thing, right? And when we do that, we can tie those in on the list of artifacts that are related to that use case. If we don't have models around that, it helps us identify that we need to do work in that area. As well as the data exchanges. Go ahead, sorry.
Hi, Andy. Just join. So in the past experience, right, the model work should be preceding all the use case. Like you would like say release, this should do model work first, then do the impact application for next release, because it cannot be coexist at the same time, right?
Yeah, when we say, it depends on what you mean by use case work, right? So as you're defining the functional view of a use case, that should be done in conjunction with the modeling work, right? Because that helps us understand what the information needs are, right? The use case can help identify information requirements that need to be modeled. Modeling can occur. My opinion is we should be looking at forward-looking use cases too, right? But as we're doing these things and we know that we're going to have an impact on a release, we should be doing the modeling as early as possible, right? And making sure that we have the APIs and the data models, the JSON, you know, to represent what's in those models. Some of them might be very high priority, so we might do information modeling and the data models and the implementation all in one release. Others might be more forward looking, and that's okay. We can have like a POC use case, for example, that can help identify information modeling before it really becomes solid as part of a specific ONAP release. Right. So the POC can, you know, proof of concept could also help early on, you know, identify here's some modeling needs and here's an information requirement. And then the modeling subcommittee can work with the people working on that POC to help develop the model around it, which will hopefully drive, you know, into a future release. But we can mark things, you know, in the model. We have kind of a set of life cycle stages of information elements, right? We can mark things as experimental, or we can mark things as mature. So it allows us to early on start, you know, providing some of those models. And then if there's common information across use cases, we can provide a view that, you know, this information is shared and map those to the various use cases that are using it, or components that are using it, or even the APIs that are implementing it.
I think one of the problems too is, you know, running these use case realization calls week to week. I mean, there's a lot of use cases and there's only one Andy Mayer, right? so like there may be somehow if we had sort of a summary table of inputs and outputs or something that might be helpful to you.
Yeah, that'd be really helpful. So even on this template, if we're to get all the use cases to fill this template in and include this information, I know where to find it quickly, right?
Yeah.
And then we as the modeling subcommittee could, you know, review these things very quickly and say, okay, you guys might want to be looking at this model that we did during release 4, right? Or gosh, that's new. We need to talk more about how we might go about modeling that. Right, so that'll help us.
Yeah. Because like 1 week we'll have we'll have a presentation on this use case, or like, you know, network slicing, or on app harmonization, or whatever. You know, often we'll have a detailed, in-depth discussion about, you know, and for example, licensing management will be coming up in September. So of course you probably can't attend all of those. But if we kind of know the sort of things that we should gather together, that would help the modeling team, that we can maybe come up with a sort of summary table or something.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned license management, because now there's an effort to do license modeling, right? Which should be really associated to the folks that are developing that use case, and Kevin Skaggs is working on that model. So as that use case develops, it would be good if we had kind of interactions to say, okay, what are your information needs? Are what we're modeling meeting those needs? And have at least that review and those discussions and that tie together of the efforts.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I mean, the modeling team itself has been defining stuff related to licensing management, and then there's now work with Ericsson and Nokia to more formally define that use case. So.
Yeah, just so I can show you guys too, just so you know where to find things. So if you go to the modeling subcommittee page, so it's kind of hidden under TSC, right? So under the TSC, we have the modeling subcommittee. And if you want to see the work that's being done, so we have it kind of separated out by each release. And we say plus because sometimes we do some future modeling stuff, which shows in the life cycle. And then we have separate areas. So we have a common information model space. We have an infrastructure model. We have a resource data model, information model, and the service modeling space, as well as the high level requirements for that release. So you can actually use this to to find out if information's already been modeled, right? Within that, there's also, and did I open that? I think I did my other page. Maybe I did close it. Oh well, there's also a read the docs. Here it is. So within read the docs for the release, if you go to the, I'll go back here so you can see how to navigate it. If you go to the ONAP components and functionality, and unfortunately it's hidden in here, and I wish it weren't. And scroll down to where modeling is, you can look at the release modeling specification, and that'll pull up all the stuff that's been done for the previous release. And this is all kind of in one place. So that's another resource for you if you want to see what's already been modeled.
Can you put those in the chat so people can, it'll be in the minutes for today.
Yeah, actually I'll go back. Here, well, yeah, I'll go to the modeling spec because that's probably the better place. Yep, I will do that.
Thanks.
And I can chat while I'm sharing. Maybe. And then the R6. That's probably better here, R5. Does anyone have any additional questions about this? Because I think it's a good opportunity. I think we can all work together and help prioritize what gets done in modeling for a release. And I think working with the use case teams is a great way to do that. Plus, we have the right experts helping develop the model. And you guys can help us really understand what the requirements and needs are and help us get a better model. And hopefully a better integrated set of APIs across the platform. And that's the ultimate goal, is having the shared information kind of represented in a common and consistent way across the APIs. That's the ultimate goal.
And maybe, you know, either periodically or certainly at the every M0, we can use one of the realization calls just dedicated to modeling. I think that would be good. And I see a number of people from different use cases on the call here, like Swami from OFPCI, Yao Guang on the NRM, you know, and Joanne from ConfigDB. And there's a lot of people from different use cases here, and Michaela as well working in various use cases. So, yeah, I think it would be good to maybe in every release to have this, you know, because this is our first time, maybe a little less organized. I think people will probably find it useful.
Yeah, so maybe one of the first steps would be defining the use case template, and maybe what I can do is help contribute that to you know, on your wiki space.
Yeah,
and then what we can do is maybe walk through how to use it, if folks have questions. We can simplify it too. I mean, that's probably the full-blown template, but a simplified version might be all that we really need here.
Sure, and here's the, let's see, is this the template? Yeah, so here's the current template. Let me put it in the chat, so people can see. That's the current template that we use kind of to define a use case. Yeah, so I think maybe we should probably bring it to like the to the use case teams, like Ala's team, or maybe the TSC, to get their opinion on how to update that page. Or
Maybe it's a different template though, because this seems like it's a tracking template for the use case, where the other might be more of a functional description of the use case, right?
Yeah, but they definitely sort of synergize, though, I think, right?
They should.
One is tracking the status of the use case, but I think also people use that as a basis, a foundation for expanding that for a description of the use case. So if you actually see an actual use case page, I mean, you'll see a lot of the elements from that template, as well as obviously a lot of other description.
It's that thing, right? It's the other description that every use case is kind of defining on their own.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Right now it's a very,
but having some commonality.
Yeah. Right.
It would be a good thing.
Right.
Because again, that would help us identify, okay, here's where we need to go to look for the modeling impacts, and then we can help you with the modeling, right? Or help, work the modeling as a team effort.
Right. So, excuse me, I joined later. I think Andy has already mentioned about the template he's proposing can help. And another thing I would like to add is, at this moment, probably, can I share the screen, Ben?
Yeah, go ahead.
You're going to go through the planning?
Right, so yeah, I think Andy already mentioned about what we are doing here. I think the first part is we are working on the high-level requirements today. If you look at the commitment for the implementation part, we have the slicing proposal related to, for example, the nested and shared service information model, and also we have the nested shared service data model. Here is related to the network slicing use cases you are working on, and also you can look at the documentation part. They are working on the, for example, licensing model, and also policy model and allotted resources. So those high level requirements has been proposed before tomorrow is the end of the deadline for the requirements of the modeling specification. But I look at the current use cases proposed in the release 6 in Frankfurt. I already contacted the slicing people use cases under the 5G use cases, and also PNF related. And I think yesterday, Ben also recommended us to to think about the configuration with netconf. That also has a modeling impact. Besides of that, we also planning to connect with, I think, the optical use cases. I think one of them, I think, under this directory. What we want is, if you are really implement any modeling in the really thick time frame, then probably modeling subcommittee better to work with you. So if you are just proposing any commitment of the code, then better we need your input to here to identify, are you planning to have any code commitment regarding the model implementation about your use cases? If you are not planning to finish achieve the modeling by release 6, and then you can go to the bottom part. You can find that they are all going to be documented only, and will be included in the Frankfurt release. So that's the requirement, expectation. Model subcommittee, as Andy said here, we want to help you, and also you can help us to build the common model specification for the ONAP, like licensing, like slicing, like configuration netconf, or like you can even think about the optical something connections. So that's the requirement from us. If you can look at this wiki page, if you want to do something for your use cases, we definitely want to work with you by M1 deadline, and hello requirement by M0. Today we identified six projects under the use cases subcommittee, and we hope all of six projects can put your input to our hello requirements by M0. And so that is this week TAC meeting. So today, maybe probably the last day, if you have time, for that six projects, you can please look at this, our hello requirement related to the modern specification. Then we can work together to improve them until the M1 deadline. That's our expectation about concrete work. So Ben, I think if you have any comments for us, those six proposal are all here today.
Yeah, so I think, you know, maybe just some preamble too. What Deng is showing is the model planning worksheet that, as I understand it, is done for every release, right? So basically, every release, if you scroll up, I think they go through and identify the requirements that they want to work on. And you see in this page, I put the link in the chat so people can go to it themselves if they want to. And then they look at each of the use cases that have been identified as requirements that to work on in that release. And you see, of course, like right now you see network slicing, but any use cases that have identified that they have impact, then should end up basically in this table. And then I think in this table, there's also different priorities of stuff. So things that they know they're going to work on, and then lower priority and forward looking work as well. So.
Right. So I already sent four emails, separate emails to those use cases. And I will send additional two emails to the other two use cases, because they have modeling impact. So I think based on the procedure proposed by the TSC, we need to work together. And because you have modeling impact, and then we need to work together to document, to write down the specifications for models, modeling specifications for the ONAP. That's teamwork in the ONAP. We want to work together for those part.
Dengri, this is Swami. For the network slicing, Yeah, you had written to Shankar and myself for the modeling related impacts for the network slicing. So, and we will also respond to your questions, and perhaps maybe in the next week's modeling call, we can join and then we can also share some details for further discussion.
Right. Thank you. So, yeah, we already had the proposal here. You can look at people are proposing slicing model related. If you have additional requirements related to the modeling, related to slicing, you can add here. Then we can further discussion next modeling regular call. We already share with you. Thank you.
Okay. Sure.
So what about the licensing and also the I think PNF has been already replied. I haven't if you have any input here, you can also here.
Yeah, so maybe if there are any other questions for the overall modeling, you know, way of working and process and things that their inputs that they would like to look, is there any before we move on to like a use case discussions too? Specific use case.
Had then, this is Yaguang. As what meaning of this modeling spec commitment? What will be the work for this?
Yeah. So the commitment of this modeling subcommittee means you are going to make a code contribution to, for example, SDC to achieve your. For example, software upgrade, and then you need to put down the requirement here. So not only you are going, we are going to document the software upgrade, but also you are commit to submit the code to the SDC project to achieve your use cases. Yaoguan.
Okay, so. Yeah, so mean the code commitment, you know, we can provide the resource to implement, and the modeling spec commitment means we will document the use case or modeling, right?
Yes. So if that is the case, you better to add one more column here, identify upgrade. So we will work with you to document the spec, and you will select this project. Use case, you can identify the software upgrade. As a model spec, you can identify yourself. Yaoguan, you can hear. Code commitment also, you can put your name here. Then we can discuss the priority together with SDC together, because that will be the community requirement of SDC. We are be understand, okay, those requirements from the use cases and the subcommittee. SDC will be more important. The commitment in the future based on these two aspects.
Okay, thank you much. And what will be the deadline to add the new line in this table?
You mean deadline? I recommend you by before tomorrow TSA meeting, because they ask us to finish the high-level requirement before tomorrow.
Okay, so deadline tomorrow. Thank you.
Okay.
So I think probably in general, this is something that release per release, right? This is something that leads up into M0, right? So I would think the M0 deadline is September 5, and then the TSC, I think, tries to analyze all of the incoming use cases before then. So I would expect every release, right? Probably a week or two before M0 is the general deadline, right?
Right. So the... okay, I think 2 weeks before, that's true. But they are asking us to finish it by August 22nd. So I don't know why. So but that's the reason I'm pushing for tomorrow.
Right. I'm just adding to your statement, yeah.
So if the deadline tomorrow, can you put the configure DB on your line so we have requirements all in place and the system flow? So
yes. We encourage you to add one more line, because that's your.
Oh, you ask to. Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. I put the link in the chat. I think I have the right link. You can verify, but I think it's the right link, which the ONAP R6 modeling high level requirements page, right? So it says August 22 to the deadline. So I think I see in this, there's network slicing, the ANI reverse engineering. So I think a number of use cases still need to add stuff to this page. So maybe we can spend the last few minutes and we can see people may want to add stuff in as we work through this. So you're going to stop sharing, I'll share. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. This is the page, right? Dang Hui?
Yes, that is the page.
Okay.
Yes.
So Joanne and I are working on the config DB use case. So a document not in the release.
Yeah, so the bottom four part is documented only. So if you have code commitment, you need to go to the top. So
okay, right. So modeling domain. What is the modeling domains again? Andy just showed us. So the one is for config DB that we know for plug and play. There's
will those be documentation for, only, or are you planning to submit the code to the STC?
Wait. So there was one for the geolocation information. So what if the use case thinks there might be impact? I guess we should add it for safety, right? So the RAN document, this point two is only for documentation, right? And point one is for if there's code development associated with it. Is that right?
No, the code commitment, if you have, you go to on top of the one, there's another spreadsheet.
Oh, okay. So I'm trying to understand the difference between one and two will be documented only and included in the Frankfurt release documentation. Oh, so this is number two is it's already been implemented, finished implementation, and we're trying to catch up in modeling, right?
Right.
Okay, I see. So config DB, there's a new use case that's being worked. And I know for PNF, pre-onboarding and onboarding, Michaela and Zhu and I are working. There's a software, PNF software.
Benjamin, don't put this here. I will add later.
Okay.
Because the PNF software upgrade is separate.
Okay.
And
sure.
We are going to implement this.
There's the PNF software upgrade, but not the upgrade, the version, right?
But it's connected to the upgrade. So we are, is part of a PNF software upgrade.
Okay. Well, I can add it here. You can update the stuff. There's various people working on this, right? Okay. You can add the information if you want. So there's config DB, and geolocation, Jacqueline and I are working on this one.
I think, here you are putting the name of people that are now taking the commitment to provide modeling specification.
Uh-huh. Right. So. So maybe this isn't right. Maybe this isn't right. So they're saying this should be the modeling people, Denghui? Is this the people working the model or something? Or what's the... So these are people in the modeling team.
Yeah, these are modeling people, the spec commitment.
The owner is the use case owners, or what's this exactly?
The owner is their owner of the modeling spec. They are...
Okay. So this should be... So we leave those blank then. Use case relevance. So maybe
we need to also identify who the use case contact is in here, Denghui. Do you think that would be helpful?
Yeah, so we need a use case, a contactor for us, yes.
Right, that's what I kind of assumed, which I was starting to add. Okay.
Do you want that in the use case column, or do you want that in, or maybe separate column would be fine, yeah.
Yeah. Oops, what's going on here? Jacqueline. So, Michaela, you'll fill out the software, PNF software upgrade, or is, I know Zoo is working on this, right?
Yeah, I will fill this because I don't, okay. I'm not, I think it should be moved in another
okay.
Table.
Sure. Okay. All right.
Yeah, Ben, you can put my name to the PNF software upgrade.
Okay. That's Yao Guang, right?
Yeah, Yao Guang.
Right. And there's a PNF. Wait a minute. Which is a PNF support type use case. Let's see what. Oh, this is the actual modeling stuff happening, right? So this is the PNF plug and play. The actual modeling work is the geolocation stuff. All right, and that's in the plug and play use case, which is under the PNF support type use case. So Joanne, for the config.db, this is the actual use case. What the modeling stuff we need to introduce, you think?
Would be the voice collector, I think, right? And the non-tangent or its existing capability, or Andy, we can verify for this. But definitely the voice collector.
I'm not sure.
Do we need to?
We have the VIST model. Kind of documented already.
Your voice we need to introduce, yeah.
We already, yeah, so we have the VEST has already been introduced, but we can relate it, right, to show. Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe there might need to be updates.
Which is good. So we identify this, we show a linkage to the existing model and work that's been done around VEST, and then we can say, okay, are there any additional updates?
Might be updates, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, then. And if this is your voice collect will be only FMC PM. This is a CM configuration data.
Oh, this is CM data. So okay. Can, okay, yeah. Got it. So probably worth saying that VEST CM.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is new, right? So it's
yes, new. Yeah.
Yep, mm-hmm. That's a good point. Yep.
All right. What is the for the modeling domain? Is this the service information model, do you think, or what should these be?
I think a resource model, right? IMDM, I'm not sure. If you have code, there are DM already.
Data model.
Yeah, so once you have DM, you need Anatoly to approve it in the future.
Okay, and there's also a use case for ORAN and 3GPP standards harmonization, which is being worked by Vimal, Begwani, and also Chilis, and Marge. Actually that's the use case. Use case. I'm not sure what modeling stuff they have though. They're a potential model impact. Slicing you have already. Licensing management is being worked by Samuli from Ericsson, Timo from Kia. So for licensing management, you already have a model kind of in place, or a proposal for a model, right? What should I put there? licensing model actual refinements, because it's actually
good. Well, it's under development right now, so I think it's continuing development.
Yeah, evolution and development. Okay, because once the actual use case gets underway, of course, there's probably going to be a loop.
Because right now it's only proposed, so this is the way of refining it. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Let's just call it, maybe just refinement would be fine.
Yeah. Okay. And that's is that a resource? Yeah. Is that a service?
But slicing, Ben, probably you can put my name and Shankar PN as the use case context.
That's common. It's a common area.
Oops, let me see. That was Swami speaking, right?
No, Shankar, I think you put it in the wrong place, Ben. I think probably you should move it to the slicing.
Oh, sorry. Slicing. I see. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And it's the Shankar is the PN Shankar, which is the
OA. Got it. And also Borislav, right?
Yeah, Borislav also, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. What's going on here? Borislav.
Yeah.
Okay, and...
Hey, Ben, this is Sandeep. One comment.
Yeah.
On the ConfigDB and John as well, you know, this is going to be like a MariaDB-based system. So this underlying kind of MySQL or some kind of MariaDB data model, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It
drives the ConfigDB. So I think we haven't captured that here, I believe.
So do you want me to put the use case itself describes the MariaDB usage and stuff. So,
but the VES is different from the underlying kind of data model, right? That goes into MariaDB.
Okay, so should I put like MariaDB data models or something?
Yeah, I believe so. Something along those lines.
Okay.
No, the MariaDB model, you will not impact. This is talking about the SD. Just correct me, Andy. This model talking about the design in the design time in the SDC, not into the individual database. Just make sure the different modeling work. So, Andy, right? This is a module related to the SDC design time.
This is the VES descriptor model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if there's needs for other things, you know, we can certainly, you know, so if there are requirements for additional models around the events themselves, perhaps, I don't know.
Okay.
Does the use case have a need for that, or?
Yeah, you can just because of the modeling Sandeep talking about database itself internal like a schema data model.
The data model.
No, we
don't typically. Okay, so I probably should have said that earlier too. So the main focus of what we're doing in the modeling subcommittee is shared information. So your database schema, you know, if it's internal, is up to the project itself, up to the component itself. If you're sharing the information across an API, we want to model the logical information in UML. But we also want, if you want to have, data on payloads or API development, or common JSON schemas, those are things we can look at as far as the data modeling impacts go.
All right, so ConfigDB is exposed to other ONAP components, right? Even today, policy, OF, microservices can access ConfigDB data model. We also have published API document for Dublin as well.
Yeah, so we probably want to model the logical aspect of what's in there from a UML perspective.
Okay.
And then show that it's mappable to the defined API model, which probably is Swagger, right?
Yeah. Okay, got it.
Okay, and the only other one left is this third party operational. Optical, wait, more, oops, sorry. Line here. Sorry, running over a little bit, guys. Sorry. Optical service 01 orchestration.
Hey, man, you can add my name for that. The slot menu.
Yes, I see you there.
But I was curious. So this particular table is specifically talking about documentation
modeling
only, but does this also include code commitment for the Frankfurt release?
Document only.
That's what I was confused about. Was it between this table as well as the table you're currently editing?
So, wait a minute. Maybe I'm getting confused too. So this is first table, the actual high level requirements, which is the actual requirements. And then this is just, this number one is document only? Is that?
Yes, I mentioned that to you already. So all your added should be moved to the top.
Oh, okay. I see. Sorry. Okay.
All, because it depends if you, this is something that all of us should check.
I mean,
it depends if in each use case, there are some discussion with the PTL and agreement on implementation.
Right. Yeah, please double check all the stuff we added here, if it makes sense to add. Okay, so let me see. I think probably we should 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. For now, let's add them up here. And if you guys want to move them, again, please double check. And if it makes sense to move them, we can move them. Is this of the same column things? In domain model? Yeah, okay. So I think hopefully I can just cut and paste this here. Right.
But if you just move, you are saying that all of this will be already are agreed to be developed in Frankfurt. Are you sure?
Well, we have the deadline for this is tomorrow, right? And I think these are all our use cases don't kind of our M0 for use cases is September 5, right? Where there's the sort of final agreement of the use cases. But I think pretty much all these use cases are ones we expect to make it into the release, right? So I mean, if you think there's something that can be removed or is questionable, maybe Kel is kind of asking.
Geographical location is, to be honest, do you think that we are going to implement in Frankfurt or on 3GPP standard harmonization?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to implement everything in Frankfurt? Licensing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so that's the question. What do you have commitment? Do you have commitment from the components to do the development during Frankfurt?
So I think that's Michaela brings up a good point. I mean, some of the, like, for example, the geolocation stuff right now is listed as a, it would be nice to have. It's not necessarily the whole thing is going to be in. And at this stage, we don't know how much of it will be there, right? I think, what does the modeling committee want to, what if something is not 100% sure that it will make it? Or do you only want to see the 100% sure things or things that might be coming down the pipe? Or do you want to have some way to specify, like, it's a possibility? Is it, it's prior? I guess they have a priority column, right? So what should we do? And, there are like the ORAN harmonization licensing. We're not sure how much of that will get into the release yet. The teams are still defining what's in them and what and stuff. So
I was under the assumption that I think what they have labeled as, 1, 2, 3, those sort of dictate the priority in terms of what will go into Frankfurt and maybe post Frankfurt.
Uh-huh.
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the modeling subcommittee could clarify that. What you've, you know, defined as 1, 2, 3, are those the priority or?
One, two, three, you mean here?
Or? 1, 2, 3 in terms of, you know, the different tables they have.
Oh, yeah. What will be documentation only? What's catching up in documentation, lower priority, and forward-looking stuff? Right.
So I guess the expectation is likely to split what we can do in maybe Frankfurt in the first column, and then, you know, the others, you split it across these four tables. Am I correct in my understanding?
Oh yeah, right. So if something is lower, well, this is, I would assume, modeling lower priority, not necessarily the use case lower priority.
I think it's modeling lower priority, but use cases can help us prioritize things. If you have stuff that's going into development and has code commitment, it could help us prioritize things as a higher priority. But I need to drop right now. This is okay. A good discussion.
We're at the end of the meeting, so please take a look at this and just fill it out as best you can. I think the modeling team wants
to. Ben, I didn't know that you post a Frankfurt release. Can you put a network topology in here?
Oh yeah, sure.
Just put, yeah.
Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. And also, just one last question for Deng Hui and Andy, for the resource and service. If something is related to a service, I guess it goes to the service information or data model. And if something is related to, say, a specific resource, that it would go to the resource. Is that kind of how we should think about this? Okay, maybe they already dropped. Okay. Go ahead.
I think if you want to add some details for this use case, PNF software upgrade will close to the resource and service.
Okay, and for the standards harmonization, that's probably just the service, I guess. And the licensing, where is that currently captured in? I think it's the service, right? Is that right? And Raghavan, do you know what's the modeling? What do we expect?
Yeah, in our case, it's the service information model, but we also have resource data model.
And what impacts. can you say, like, in a few words, what the modeling impact?
Yeah, it's basically end-to-end layer one service management.
And what's the modeling thing you expect to do to model the service or
the optical service. We'd expect to model the optical service. It's the subscriber and operator optical service. Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay.
Topology manager.
Let me add. thanks. Config DP here. Okay. Do here. Topology management.
So one concern I have is
so this will be the results and the stories for modeling, right?
Okay. Okay.
And then it's for the 5G NIM mode configuration.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We have
I forgot there. About that too.
The requirement for this modeling is the data type and load type of NIM. Yeah. Focus on the resource, NIM, and DM.
All right. And do we know what the projects you're going to impact yet are?
Yeah, SDC, SO, and CDS.
Okay. And do you have some words about what the model might be? Model impacts might be?
Data type and the load type of 5G NRM.
Okay. Like that?
Yeah.
And for topology management, do we know what?
It will be the ISO impact application will be ISO and the NAI and the SDC and then maybe ConfigureDB.
Okay, and
SDNR.
Okay, for the controllers, I've been adding just controllers. And what kind of modeling thing do we expect to do to model the network, I guess? Network topology management.
So, yeah, network would be the, like talking about, like, you know, nice service, like a recursive with all the detail configuration, network configuration, like a tree structure.
Okay, great. All right, so I think we have a... Did we miss anything? Did I get all the use cases?
Yes, for PNF software upgrade and the impact project, maybe SDC, VID, SO, SDN controller, and the CDS. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks. Modeling requirement. What's the difference between modeling requirement and modeling requirement description? I'm not sure. Is Deng still on? I know people are dropping. We're running over time. Okay. So anyway, take a look and see if you need to move these things to some of these other tables. Number one looks like it's documentation only, no development. Documentation that's catching up to or something already developed. And if it's something that won't make it to... won't make it in Frankfurt, and something that's future looking also won't make it into Frankfurt. Okay, thanks everybody. Sorry we ran over. It was a really good discussion, I feel. So I'll send out and upload the recording to so you can listen to it if you missed part of it. Okay, thanks a lot. Have a good day.